All right, at this time, I would like to introduce Louisiana Tech President, Dr. Dan Renaud.
I hardly know where to begin. In 13 days, I think I logged more miles than an American Airlines pilot, but it's for a worthy cause. I would like to recognize someone before I begin, and that's the President Emeritus of Louisiana Tech, Dr. F.J. Taylor. Dr. Taylor, you're the leader. And lest I forget, my wife, Linda. I don't want to forget to introduce Linda. It's a red letter day for us. And I want you to know Louisiana Tech has spent 2.5 years working on a project called Vision 2020. What will this university be in the year 2020? It's called Going From Good to Great. And we've got a roadmap that goes all the way with check marks and dollars along the way. We've begun today with the strategy company from Minnesota for that roadmap in athletics, Tech Athletics Vision 2020. It is not to say where we'll go. I have said where we will be, a top public university and a top public university complete athletic program. And I pledge that to you with all my fiber. You know, I was pleased with this search. I was pleased with the quantity and quality of individuals that were interested in Louisiana Tech. But when Jim and I flew to Miami and sat down with Coach Dooley for 3 hours, there was no doubt who fit the mold of this university and who could be the individual that could lead us to 2020 in Tech Athletics. I'm going to introduce his wife, Allison, first. Dr. Dooley, would you please rise? Allison is OBGYN. Let's give her a round of applause. What you're going to hear, and he will sell himself to you, is a man of integrity, a man of character, a man with football genetics in his blood, a man who knows football from one end to the other, and one is who can lead us to 2020 in Tech Athletics. He has varied experience. He has a law degree. It didn't challenge him. So he's coming to Louisiana Tech as a challenge. He's modest, and he won't tell you that he's going to win. He's going to tell you what he'll do. But I can tell you one comment he made as we hammered and hammered out this contract over the phone. And I'm going to embarrass him, but he said, "When, not if, I lead Louisiana Tech to a BCS bowl, I want this type of bonus." Since we get $6 million, I readily agreed. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who's going to lead us and win with honor and integrity from the Atlantic Ocean to the Hawaiian Isles, our Juris Doctorate, Dr. Derek Dooley.
Of the Athletic Council, Athletic Director Jim Oakes, and the entire Louisiana Tech family, it's an honor and a privilege to stand before you as your next head football coach. Over the last 11 years, it's been quite a journey for me, and I've been very fortunate to come across a lot of coaches who are willing to stick their neck out and give a young year coach a chance to do something he's never done before, and it's happened at every level. all the way from Jim Dine, who took a lawyer off the street and brought him in his program to be a GA, to Mike Cavan, who gave me my first full-time position at SMU, to, of course, Nick Saban, who brought me to the SEC and has really been a profound influence on me as a coach and is as good a teacher as a young coach any person could ever be. He, at each step of the way, increased my responsibilities and enhanced my development all the way to the National Football League. And for him, I'm very grateful. And here we are now, where the Louisiana Tech family has given me this new opportunity, again a first, and I'm looking forward to the challenge. Certainly all of this was not possible without the unconditional love and support from my wife, Allison, who has allowed me to pursue my dreams, and in doing so has given up a lot of her personal and professional goals. And for that, Allison, I'm very grateful that we could be here today. I was initially attracted to this job because of the 5 years I spent living in Baton Rouge and the 5 years our family spent down there, really developing a lot of deep personal relationships with the people of this great state. At the same time, during that time, I developed a lot of great professional relationships with many of the high school coaches in the area, whom I have a great respect for. But the job became even more attractive as I began to look at the rich tradition of the athletics here at Tech. And the more I talked to the leadership of this university, who really had a clear vision for where they wanted not only the academics to be in year 2020, but who also had a clear plan for the vision of the athletic program. And all that was fine, but in the end, it's a people business. And when I sat across that table from Dr. Renaud, I can tell you, I knew right in my heart this was the place I wanted to be, because these are the kind of people I want to work with. These are the kind of people I want to set new challenges for and hopefully lead us to success in the future. Our goal here is to relentlessly establish a complete program that will maximize the development of every student athlete, not only in their academic endeavors, not only in their athletic endeavors, but also in their personal growth. And it's important that every person who's in this program understand that, that we're here to develop a complete program, to develop a complete student athlete. And we're going to do it with tremendous amount of energy. I think the way to do that is to set a standard of excellence in every aspect of the program. If you do that and constantly strive to maintain a consistently high level of performance, I think it's something that everybody in this state is going to be proud of. And I want to tell you that there's five guiding principles that I've always used in anything I've done, and that I hope will be a hallmark of this program that's going to guide us in every decision that we have, whether it's on the football field, whether it's in academic support, whether it's in athletic support, in any area. We're going to live by these founding principles. And the first is integrity. We're going to set a moral standard here of what's right and wrong, and we're going to expect everybody in the program to live up to that. The second is discipline. We're going to make sure that everybody consistently does what they're supposed to do every day. And when they don't do it, they're going to get confronted to make sure we do it right. The third thing is passion. I don't think anything can work well without a tremendous amount of energy and enthusiasm, and that permeates throughout the entire program. And we're going to do stuff with a lot of passion around here, because you can overcome a lot of obstacles when you have that. The fourth thing is selflessness. There's going to be no job beneath us, and it's important for us to remember that we're here for Louisiana Tech, not for us. And the last, and I think most importantly, we're going to try to do everything with class. There's going to be a tremendous amount of respect for each other. There's going to be a tremendous amount of respect for each individual person. And in the end, I think it'll be something that the entire state of Louisiana will be proud of by the way we represent this program. And finally, on a football note, which I'm sure that's what you guys are more interested in, we're going to really put a premium on some of the intangible factors that I feel are important in winning football games. I think it's critical to winning at every level. It doesn't matter if it's high school, college, or the National Football League. The first thing is we're going to develop a team that has tremendous mental and physical toughness. This is a tough game. It's for tough people, and the toughest teams usually win. And that's not something that you get overnight. And we're going to spend a lot of energy creating that toughness, and hopefully we can have a team full of. The second thing we're going to have is we're going to strive to get relentless effort on every snap. And it goes back a little bit to the passion I'm talking with. It doesn't matter how big you are, how fast you are. If you don't play with a tremendous amount of effort, you're not going to be worth anything. And the last thing I hope our teams can be known for is being very situational smart. Being able to handle every situation in a game, every adverse situation, the good things that happen, the bad things that happen, the clock management, all those things that go into making a good football team, it's going to be important for me, for our team to handle all that. And having said those three things that I think are critical to win, none of that's possible unless we all do it as a team. And if we can build a team, and I don't mean just the football team, I'm talking about the entire athletic department, I'm talking about the entire academic community, and when we do that, that's where all the rewards will come. And I'm looking forward to the challenge of building all that at Louisiana Tech. I'll be happy to answer any questions. I was a little concerned when it was the media only, but hopefully I'll be able to handle them. Yes, sir.
Coach, you spent 7 years as an assistant with Coach Saban. Is there a plaque of longevity thing? Are you the longest running assistant with Saban?
Well, I'm not here keeping records, but I'm pretty sure nobody's ever been 7 years straight. but I'll tell you what about Coach Saban. I really owe everything to him, and he's been unbelievably good to me. He's certainly a demanding head football coach. He's not a head football coach that anybody can go work for, because he holds you accountable every day for your actions. But I wouldn't trade my experience with him for any other coach out there, because you know sometimes you have to go through some tough times to really learn how to be a good football coach, and he's done that, and I appreciate everything he's done.
Now, you had some other questions. What was the most important thing that you could take out of those 7 years from Coach Saban?
Well, the one thing that I believed in his philosophy. I believed in what he believed in winning football games. I believed in what he believed in developing a team. And when you believe in the head coach philosophically, it makes it a lot easier to come to work every day with a smile on your face. But I think, you know, one thing about Coach Saban, no stone was ever left unturned. And that was not always a popular decision. He wasn't always popular internally, but things always got done, and they got done right. And I think I took that from him.
What do you like? You've been at college level, NFL level coaching. What do you like about college, and what's kind of brought you back to this point?
I think the greatest reward for a coach, and I think this holds true in teaching, is to watch a young man who you meet, who's green. He doesn't come from much, doesn't know a whole lot, and you spend 4 years of your life learning about him, getting to know his family, helping him become a better person, helping him become a better player. And in the end, you go off and see him become this great success, either in the National Football League or in life, and to think where he came from and where he is now, and to feel like you were a part of that, there's nothing more rewarding. There's no victory that's more rewarding. And certainly that's why I got in coaching, because that was something that I missed.
Coach, what is it about this job in particular that really attracted you right from the outset?
Well, it's just what I said. You know, the ties that I've had here, we really had a tremendous experience in this state. We love the people. We love the culture. We had two children that were born here, which means a lot to Allison. And they were certainly excited that they were going back home. But once I really got in, I think in the end, it came down to the people and the leadership that I was so impressed with. And I think that is more important than any weight room you could build, any stadium you can build, because in the end, this is a people business. And when all the people are working together and they have the same goals and they have the same respect for each other, I think things are going to work.
Obviously, could have had a career in as a lawyer. What drew you back to coaching football?
Well, everybody thinks I hated practicing law, and that really wasn't the case. I went to law school really with no ambition of being a lawyer. I was pretty much like every typical 22-year-old. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life because all I did was live for the day. And I figured it couldn't hurt to go to law school, so I went. I found that I actually liked it, and I'm almost afraid to tell people that, but I enjoyed it. It was so challenging, mentally challenging. You know, in athletics, when things get tough, you can kind of grit your teeth a little bit and give a little more effort. But when you're standing in front of a judge and things get tough, you can't go up there and start choking him. You know, your mind has to be pretty sharp. So it was a tremendous challenge, and that really is what drew me to start practicing law. But as I got in it, I realized I missed all the things that I loved about athletics. And, you know, for 22 years of my life, that was my life. The camaraderie, the tough times, the working together as a team, the highs, the lows, all the emotions that go along with sport is what I loved. And, you know, I just don't think you can get that, at least any field that I've ever been a part of.
But your dad wasn't real keen on you going coaching, was he?
Well, my mom certainly wasn't real keen. She, you know, she thought that wasn't fair to Allison. She married a lawyer, not a damn football coach. But my father understood. You know, he asked me a couple of questions. I think any time you're early in your career, you know, there's always ups and downs, and he was more concerned I was just having a bad month practicing law. That wasn't the case. I really spent about 6 months really kind of reflecting for the first time in my life of what I want to do and where I want to go, and it took me about 6 months to figure it out. But in the end, they were certainly very supportive, and I can tell you there's not two happier people right now than them. Yes, sir.
I realize you haven't had a lot of time to look at it yet, but from your experience in recruiting under Saban in Louisiana before, what do you see as the strengths of Louisiana Tech recruiting, and how do you see that as coming into play quickly for you when you turn on the job?
Well, I think the starting point in any program is drawing a circle of about 4 or 5 hours away from your campus. Because even at LSU, where we were recruiting all over the country, in the end, the foundation of our program comes from within. And once you do that, you have to sell yourself. And to sell yourself, you have to do things the right way all the time. And I think the key in recruiting is building a certain level of trust and confidence in the players that they know that if they come in your program, they're going to be a whole lot better off 4 years from now. Certainly all the other things are important. You know, all the, you know, they call it the arms race now in college athletics with all the facilities, and all that's important. But in the end, it's just what I said about this job. It comes down to the people. And the success that I've had in recruiting generally turned on the relationship I had with that player and with that family. And it's got to be genuine, you know, because those kids are a lot smarter than you think. They can see right through you.
What's your plans for your staff? How are you going to proceed with that?
Well, my first approach is to visit with all the staff members here, and I hope to do that before I leave. You know, I think one thing that is very important is that you don't come to a place, and certainly not one that's had some success in the past,
and just assume that nothing's right. I think it's important that I sit down and try to sort through the things that are being done good here, and let's keep doing it, and sort through some of the things that maybe we can improve on and see how we can improve it. Once I visit with the coaches, as I think most of you know, I'm going to finish out my obligation with the Dolphins. So I'll spend 2 weeks trying to manage two jobs, and I'm going to take my time and make sure I hire the right person. I get back to it's about the people. I don't want to rush into it. I want to spend some time making sure it's right. So I'm not certainly going to put any deadlines, but I have some people in mind. I will say this, that the people that I talk to, you know, all those traits that I talked about earlier, it's going to be important for me that they have that, especially the energy. I mean, this is such a hard profession that if you don't come in it with all your heart and your soul and bring some positive energy, it becomes damaging. So that's going to be an important factor.
Coach, what kind of pressure do you feel coming into a field where your dad's a legend?
Well, you know, I've always put a lot of pressure on myself. And when I got in this profession, I never felt like I needed to exceed what he did, match what he did. I've always been a little bit of a free thinker in our family. I was the only one that didn't go to Georgia. You know, and I've been catching hell for it ever since. I'm not planning on running it as much as he did. You know, but I've always held myself to a pretty high standard. And, you know, just being here right now, you feel a lot of weight on your shoulders to make everybody proud. And, you know, all I know how to do is roll up my sleeves and go to work. But I'm certainly not here because I want to win a certain number of games and a certain number of championships and be held in regard like he was. I think that if you think like that, then you're probably not going to be here very long. But I've certainly admired, you know, what he's able to do. And probably of all the things that strikes me the most of his accomplishments is his ability to last over time. And I think it's a true measure of your success. There's a lot of flash programs out there. There's a lot of flash coaches, you know, that come in, they get it done, they get out. But there's very few that have been able to sustain it over time. And I think that's the biggest challenge in this profession.
You touched on this briefly, but just talk about the logistics of balancing the two jobs as you are 2 weeks combined.
Well, Coach Saban has been very accommodating. He's going to allow me certainly to block out a little time and maybe provide me with some support and staffing down there, which will help me manage a lot of the phone calls. You know, the biggest thing right now, my two immediate goals are going to be working on putting together a staff and getting recruiting going. We're not going to sit here and try to solve every problem today. We've got to hone in on what we have to do short term, and once we get through that immediacy, then we can start thinking big picture. But until then, I think it's important we have a real short-term goal here and get this done.
Without a staff in place, or actually there is a staff in place, how do you utilize those guys to sort of manage the home front while you're in Miami?
Well, I really can't answer that question until I sit down and visit with each one of them. You know, I can't speculate on what I'm going to do and who I'm going to keep. And it's just I'm going to give everybody a really chance to speak with me, and I hope some of them want to stay. You know, they got to want to stay too. It's not all up to me. So I'm just looking forward to sitting down and visiting with them, and maybe that'll, you know, bring some closure on that end.
What was your first thought when you got approached about this job? I mean, here you are in the NFL, highest level of the game, and then here comes Louisiana Tech. What was your thought, and then?
Well, I told Dr. Renau that it's always been my goal to be a head coach, but I never wanted to take a job until I felt deep down inside I was ready. And 2 years ago, if this thing would have come up and I was down at LSU, I probably would have had a hard time showing any interest just because I didn't feel like I was ready. After spending 2 years in the National Football League, it was really a PhD in football, in PhD in X's and O's, a PhD in personnel evaluation, and even more so than that, you're around a whole bunch of pretty good coaches who've been around a long time. And I think more than anything, it kind of validates where you are as a coach. It really gave me a lot of confidence that I could sit in and not miss a beat with those guys. And after seeing the operations of the Dolphins and the National Football League, I just felt this was the first time, and really it was back in September, October, that I felt like, you know, I'm ready. Now, that didn't mean I was going to go jump at every program, and I told Coach Saban this. I would not have taken a job just for the sake of taking a job. Just because I was ready didn't necessarily mean I would jump ship, because I had a heck of a job. You know, there's only 32 coaches in the world that coach your position in the National Football League, so it was really an honor to be there. But when I was approached by Louisiana Tech, I was really, the more I looked at it and the more I met the people, it was almost like it was a godsend, you know, that it was time. So I was really blessed that it all worked out.
What would you say is your philosophy offensively and defensively? What are you going to bring?
Well, before you get into the systems, there's some things that I believe are critical factors to winning. First off, is turnovers. You got to win the turnover battle. It's amazing to me how many times you can look at the box score and see this team had 3 turnovers, that team had none, and guess who won? It's unbelievable. In National Football League, in college, in high school. So what that means is, from an offensive standpoint, you better emphasize protecting the ball. And that really is not just the runners. It's the pass protection. It's the play calls in certain situations. It's the quarterback knowing when to get rid of the ball or force a throw. And from a defensive standpoint, it's getting the ball. And you can't get the ball by just standing there and playing defense. You got to be aggressive. And you got to come after people, and you got to hit them hard. And that's going to be the number one priority, because it's the number one factor in winning. I think the second factor, and more so today than ever, because the game keeps changing, is getting good quarterback play. And you hate to isolate one position and say it's that critical, but it is. And from an offensive standpoint, again, it's not just on the quarterback. Getting good quarterback play means you have a good running game to take the pressure off of them. You have good protection. The receivers are running good routes, so they have good vision to throw the ball. So there's a lot that goes into it, and, man, that guy's pretty good. From a defensive standpoint, the number one objective is to affect the quarterback. And how do you affect him? Again, it's not from sitting there and letting him read it out. It's from coming after him. It's from hitting him. It's from disguising. It's from confusion. And if you can get a quarterback to flinch and get hit a few times, and, you know, all of a sudden those easy throws aren't so easy anymore. So quarterback play is number two. And probably the third biggest thing now is creating explosive plays, winning that battle. And what I mean by that is plays that change field position. It's harder and harder now to grind out a 12-play drive. Players are too good, and players make mistakes. So the quicker you can change field position in a game, right, the more effective you're going to be. Right, and it goes with all three teams. On offense, you change field position, obviously, with big plays, big runs, big throws. On defense, you change field position by sacking the quarterback, knocking him for negative yards, intercepting passes, that sort of thing. And, of course, on special teams is a great opportunity to really make a difference in a game. I think that's probably one of the areas where you can steal most of the games, you know, by sneaking up on special teams and creating some big-time plays. So having said all that, those are three things that I think are critical to winning. All right, now, the systems that you put in place have always got to be thinking about, is this going to help us in those three areas? All right, if you want to get a little too aggressive, well, what's going to happen? Maybe turnovers, maybe sacks. Is that what we want to do? You get too conservative, are we going to get any big plays out of this? So I think it's a real balance. I do believe that you have to analyze your personnel and fit some of your scheme around what they can do. I don't think it's fair to ask players to do things they can't do. And there are things that players can't do. You can sit there and scream at them and yell at them and say you got to do it better, but I think it's a coach's job to know, hey, what is this guy's strength, and let's let him do it. So that's kind of philosophically what I believe. And I know you were looking for, am I running the I formation and all that stuff? I'm doing it all. How about that?
What was your favorite protein growing up?
I'll tell you in 2 weeks. Because right now it's the Miami Dolphins. I will answer your question. I grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. Big time Cowboys fan back in the late 70s, early 80s. Yeah, I could rattle off all the players.
And
coming with that, you develop a deep hatred for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Coach, you said your wife and your kids really love the Baton Rouge area. What can we do to make Ruston more like what they were accustomed to, Baton Rouge?
I don't think you can make it like Baton Rouge. I just hope everybody doesn't do anything. Because what attracted us to this area are the people. And, I grew up in Athens, a small town. Allison's from Fort Worth, which it's a big town, but it's, the small town over in the Metroplex with a nice small town feel. And I grew up in an environment where the kids could go out in the street and play, and the people were nice and gracious, and that's what I'm used to, and that's what really attracted us to Ruston.
You'll meet with your players later, new players. What message do you want to impart to them in that first meeting?
Well, I think it's important that I don't sit up there and lecture to them for 45 minutes on every aspect of the program, because they'll get pretty bored quickly and lose interest. I just want to introduce myself to them and tell them a few things that I believe in, and more importantly, talk about how they need to take care of themselves over the break and kind of come back with a renewed spirit, with an open mind and an open heart, and hopefully we can do all this thing together. And I think it's important for them to understand that we're all in this together. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's about creating a family to make this state proud. And if they can kind of get lost in each other, so to speak, I think everybody will have a fulfilling experience. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, and hopefully I can get to work.